Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. We appreciate you dropping on by this final Wednesday, everybody. DA with you across the great CBS Sports Radio network. Hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. You can also listen to us on Sirius XM, channel 206. Check us out as well streaming by going to the radio.com app, telling your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio, or our website, cbssportsradio.com. Our next guest is head coach of the best team in the Big South, looking to take home the automatic bid for this conference to get into the NCAA tournament. They had an enormously long winning streak earlier in the season. They've only lost once all year, 21-1, and they're looking to dance. Joining us here on the show, head coach of the Winthrop Eagles for mid-major mothership.
It's DA's Mid-Major Mothership, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Next up tomorrow night, Winthrop is going to take on Longwood in the Big South Tournament. Joining us, head coach Pat Kelsey. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
DA, how are you doing? It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate you having me on.
My pleasure. Pleasure's all ours here. We're excited to have you on. We've been following Winthrop basketball because we are close friends with Dave Friedman, the voice of your program. And so we've been talking some Winthrop Eagles basketball for the last couple of weeks. And you guys have had such an amazing season through a lot of adversity. Let's go back to last year. You win the Big South tournament and there is no NCAA tournament. How crushing was that to know you had reached the summit and yet you couldn't capitalize by playing in March Madness?
Yeah, I think it was a blessing and a curse. You know, we were able to cut down nets and win a championship and storm the floor before social distancing came into effect and mask and, you know, and crowd surfing, and we were jubilation. And that's priceless, and that's an experience and a moment we'll never forget. But obviously the gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching cancellation of the NCAA tournament a few days later, it was tough, especially on our seniors that weren't going to be able to take part in the NCAA, the greatest spectacle in American sports outside the Super Bowl. But, you know, the majority of our team returned, and really we used, you know, that event, that adversity as a motivating factor throughout the off season to get us back to the point we are right now, with an opportunity and a chance over the next several days to earn a berth to play in the national tournament.
It was understandable last year when the plug was pulled on the NCAA tournament, but my heart broke for you guys. My heart broke for all of the teams out there that had this chance in front of them and that it was taken away. Some surprise Cinderellas that would not be back for that seeding or that opportunity. How did you watch your players handle this? As you said, the seniors, did they handle this well? Did they handle this difficultly? How was it?
No, they were crushed. There's no question about it. And I posted on Twitter a year ago or so, shortly after that announcement. You know, Josh Ferguson, who is a very decorated player here, who's now playing professionally overseas in Europe, one of the finest young men I ever coached. And, you know, I delivered the news to him. I called him first when I heard, and it was just dead silence on the phone, and you could just hear him being emotional. And it wasn't 25 minutes later, I walked past the study hall lab here in the athletic department, the Coliseum, and Josh is in there, you know, working on a sociology paper. And, you know, just really paints a picture as to the student-athlete experience, you know. And Coach Prosser, Skip Prosser, my mentor, used to say all the time that sports and basketball is a microcosm of life. And, you know, the responsibilities that these kids have are significant, but, you know, the things that they're afforded in terms of playing on national television and wearing cool gear all the time and those type things are great. But within moments of his dreams being dashed, he's right back in the study hall lab working on his paper. And I thought that was a pretty heavy moment. And, you know, Josh texted me the other day how proud he was watching from afar of these guys and this run that we're on right now. And we're not finished. We have a lot of work to do. You know, Hunter Hale and Josh Ferguson, last year seniors, are as much a part of this special journey as the guys that are in uniform right now.
It is why I think this NCAA tournament is so rich with context, is that there are so many players that are getting their shot again because so many players did not get their shot last year. And so all of those stories come to the surface here with the NCAA tournament. Winthrop's head coach, Pat Kelsey, joining us on the show. Winthrop meant a lot to you. The first time you guys made the tournament under your leadership back in 2017, you were off of the job at UMass. You decided to come back to Winthrop. What was it about this Eagles job that drew you to come back and say, this is where I want to be right now?
You know, Winthrop's a special place. There's a phenomenal tradition, first of all, here from a basketball standpoint. One of the most decorated mid-major programs in the entire country. A lot of coaches and special players have come before me and my staff to make the name Winthrop on the chest of our jerseys mean something really special. But this is a special university as well. It's a place, obviously, you know, it's not my alma mater. I went to Xavier in Cincinnati, but this has become home to me. And I'm very, very lucky to be the head coach at a prestigious university with a great basketball tradition. And above all that, my family loves living in Rock Hill, South Carolina. This is a community that we've adopted as our home, and the people here have been phenomenal to us. I think it's one of the best places in the world to raise a family. And I know one thing, I'm very, very lucky to be here and fortunate and excited to do something special, hopefully, for Winthrop here over the next month.
One of the crazy things about your regular season has been time and place of the games. You would play in the middle of the afternoon. You would play a series of two-game series. And so you would play the same opponent back-to-back to make sure you guys got all of the games in. And still, some were postponed and some were canceled. What about the challenges of playing this kind of really up-and-down season where you're just hoping to get as many games played as possible, but under some dire situations?
Yeah, from the moment last year when the NCAA tournament was canceled and the ceilings start falling on the entire world, that was kind of our thing. You know, we were going to rally around uncertainty and adversity and try our best to handle it as well or better than any program in the country. There isn't a scoreboard that says who is and isn't, but, you know, we like to think that we're doing it pretty well. The only thing we told our guys to expect is the unexpected. And, you know, there's an old formula, and there's a formula we use. It's called E plus R equals O, and E is just events and circumstances that you can't do anything about. The O is the outcome, what we hope to achieve, you know, but you can't guarantee that either. All you can do anything about is the R, and that's the responses to what happens. And we've really focused on that amidst this very, very unique and different year, whether it's cancellations of games, goofy game times, as you mentioned, playing the same team, not only back-to-back, we just played our opponent back-to-back-to-back because we played them the last series of the season in High Point, coached by legendary Hall of Famer Tubby Smith, and then we played them in the first round of the tournament. How many times in college basketball history have you played the same opponent three times in a row? So those things just continue to happen in this crazy COVID year, 2020-2021.
And yet, you guys had soared. I mean, you were undefeated up until late January. You were 16-0, 13-0 in the conference. You were getting looks for the top 25 votes. And then you finally were handed your only loss of the season on one of those back-to-backs with UNC Asheville. This was a huge moment for them. They won 57-55. Is there any part of you that was kind of relieved? A little pressure might have been taken out of the balloon with a loss.
You know, that's what everybody said, D.A., hey, this might be a blessing. It sure doesn't feel like it at the time. You know, I don't care if we're undefeated or what our record is. If you're a competitor, you want to win every time you lace those sneakers up. But, again, it was just it was a dose of adversity that we were forced to deal with. You know, I told him, Coach Prosser used to say, thump, thump, thump. That's the sound of people jumping on and off the bandwagon, like when we were 18-0 or whatever the heck it was. And from a national standpoint, everybody was talking about that. And then you lose one, and they stop talking about you as much nationally. I said, those are things you can't worry about. All we can handle or worry about is how we respond to this, and that means – the next lifting session, the next film session, the next practice session. Let's be elite at the first repetition because that's what we can control, and we're going to continue to have that mentality moving forward.
You know, I wonder about this tournament coming up. If you guys do get the automatic qualifying bid out of the conference and you get into March Madness, it has felt the last 2 years specifically like the tournament has become really wide open. Now, there's a lot of things moving parts of the NCAA tournament and the NCAA's college basketball sphere in general. But do you feel like being at a mid-major gives you an opportunity in 2020, 2021, and now this window we're in, to do more damage to the tournament than maybe could have been expected a couple of years ago?
You know, I think, first of all, let me qualify this by saying I'm speaking in generalities about mid-majors in general, because we got a whole lot of work to do, DA, before we can start talking about, you know, our journey in the NCAA tournament. We have a very, very tough opponent on Thursday. And if we're lucky enough, blessed enough to get past this, we're going to have another really, really tough game on Championship Sunday to be able to punch that ticket. That's way off in the future to me. You know, all we're worrying about is the next task at hand. But having said that, I agree with you. You know, I think it's different than it was maybe 20 years ago when, you know, the elite college basketball players, the majority of them were staying 3 and 4 years. And whether it's the Blue Bloods or Power Fives, you know, not only did they have top-level talent, but they had top-level talent that has matured and developed and become upperclassmen-laden type teams. And you see more and more, you know, in this day and age, and you look at, use us as an example, Winthrop, we have a very veteran team, senior, junior laden, and even our sophomores, I would consider them to have a maturity about them that is other level. And trust me, as a coach, you sleep better at night knowing, especially when your backcourt is juniors and seniors. I mean, Chandler Waldron is one of the best point guards in the country, leads the country in triple doubles. Coach Prosser used to say, you give a guy like that the ball at 7 at night, he gives it back to you safe and sound at 9. An extension of the coaching staff, you know? And I like to think when the lights are the brightest and the moments are the biggest, when you have those battle-tested, older, veteran guys, that can play into your favor and be an advantage, obviously.
has to be. Plus, Loyola Chicago proves you can get to the Final Four out of the Missouri Valley in recent years. We saw a 7 seed in South Carolina make the Final Four the year before that, a 10 seed in Syracuse make the Final Four the year before that. So it does feel like things have opened up. Now, I got to ask you this. Your play-by-play man, Dave Friedman, has been there for a decade and a half. He's a beloved member of the Winthrop community. He's a friend of mine, and he's a big part of the show. I don't know if you're aware of this, but he has been dropping little Easter eggs during broadcast slogans that we use here on the show. I want you to hear some highlights from Dave Friedman on your airwaves. Let's play this.
Zunick, left side, Baldwin. Thought about a 4-3 today. Instead goes inside, Claxton. Slam dunk! If you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more. 78-63 Eagles. Winthrop is going to win a 20th consecutive game.
Burns turns, fires up with a left hand, scores off the window. Have fun with your marriage. Another bucket for DJ Burns. He's got 20.
Coach, are you aware that during basketball games, your play-by-play man is saying, have fun with your marriage, and if you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more?
Well, Dave is somebody that I refer to as affectionately as a complex carbohydrate. He marches the beat of a different drummer, but I love him. And you know what? You can hear that and see it. I think anybody in life that's good at what they do is passionate about what they do. And Dave definitely has a face for radio, I will say that. But I'm telling you right now, that dude is like, I think we're similar in that we both make coffee nervous. But he's an extremely high-energy guy. His partner, Mike Pacheco, same thing. They are unbelievably prepared and just love what they do. And I love being around guys that are passionate about what they do.
I get to see Dave every year. We go to Saratoga and check out some of the racehorses. He's a huge racing fan, and I'll never forget when I asked him what type of cheese he was eating, and he launched into like a 15-minute soliloquy about the type of cheese, where it was made, the best cheeses to pair with whatever. I said, boy, this is the entire Dave Friedman experience. I just got 15 minutes
Gouda. Some of the most useless knowledge is crammed between the ears of that lad right there, I can tell you that.
Are you aware he just orders by the bushel apples every single year and stuffs his entire fridge worth of apples, and he eats like 5 to 7 apples a day?
Again, I'll go back to the complex carbohydrate quote. That sounds right, par for the course.
Next up for the number one seeded Winthrop Eagles in their Big South tournament is Longwood tomorrow night. That game is on ESPN+. That's the semifinals of the conference tournament. After that, Sunday, the championship game is on ESPN. Head coach Pat Kelsey joining us from the Winthrop Eagles trying to dance into the NCAA tournament. Coach, congratulations on a wonderful year already. Best of luck in the rest of this tournament, man, and hopefully we see you in March Madness.
DA, thanks so much for having me on. Rock the Hill.
My pleasure. Pat Kelsey joining us this morning, head coach of the Winthrop Eagles. Super Dave, a complex carbohydrate, according to Pat Kelsey. Keep making them tacos. Keep making them tacos. Of course, tomorrow night we will have another Winthrop game, and if Super Dave drops another Super Dave-ism, DA show-ism during the broadcast, we will play that for you on Friday morning. And look, All good thoughts to Longwood, but we need Winthrop to win this game. And all good thoughts to the championship game of the Big South, we need Winthrop to win that game. Because we need Winthrop in the NCAA tournament, because we need Dave Friedman, Super Dave, giving us the DA show drops in the Field of 68.
The mothership disconnects.
And just remember, Coach Kelsey, have fun with your marriage.
Have fun with your marriage.
I'll tell you, Mraz is having fun with his marriage. You know, yesterday we were talking about how he flew back from Florida and the flight down was with a screaming baby. And so we kind of danced around trashing him for bringing a baby on a flight for 3 hours. He blamed it on Danielle. Mraz, did that get back to Danielle yesterday? Did she say anything about that?
She didn't. Luckily, there's plenty of else going on around here that she's been a little tuned out on it. So I'm thankful that it didn't get back to her. I did do a delicate walk up the steps to see where I was at. But I was okay. I was okay. So we're thankful that not everything gets back to her and reported to her.
Okay. All right, very good. When we come back, now we have Stunned to a News coming up here next with AB, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
You have somebody like posing as me, and she's like passed out at her desk, which I can understand because I do that sometimes. Because I do pass out at my desk drunk sometimes, but that's besides the point.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, follow me on Instagram for the latest behind the scenes on the show and chances to win cool stuff. We just had a Netflix gift card giveaway via social media the other day, which was very cool. So follow me there. Instagram handle at Damon Amendo. That's at Damon Amendo. Content every single day from behind the scenes of the show and just life in general around Casa de Amendolara. On Instagram at Damon Amendo for all of you D-aliens out there. Coming up on the show, Ian Eagle's going to join us. About a half hour from now, we'll talk NBA on TNT with him, as he did Clippers and Celtics last night. In a very funny way, last Friday, Adam Kaufman, Celtics insider, sometimes known as a Celtics honk, joined us and said he absolutely hates watching the Celtics team. Body language poor, compete level low. Since then, the Celtics haven't lost. Take that, Adam Kaufman. Have fun with your Celtics. So I was just talking to Pat Kelsey, head coach of the Winthrop Eagles, and Winthrop's one of the most intriguing mid-majors in the country. They've only lost once all season long. They've been dominant last year. They won the Big South as well, so they had an automatic bid last year. They really are the, let's just say, New York Yankees of the Big South. Every year they're the favorites. Every year they're the team to beat. Every year they have the target on their back because of all of their history of success and modern success as well. I think this year's NCAA tournament is super interesting for this reason. Redemption. Why I say that? Last year was crushing. A year ago this time, we had an NCAA tournament lined up. Some teams that never get that far with those types of expectations and those types of players were circling the tournament as a place that they can become national stories and become celebrities in their own moment and historical monuments of the NCAA tournament. Dayton, we were talking about making a deep run in the tournament. Seton Hall, we were talking about maybe making a Final Four. The Winthrop Eagles had clinched the Big South. Gonzaga, who had never won a national championship, looked like they were the team to beat. For all of those schools, snatched away. Gone. Poof. And now it's a chance for redemption for some of those schools. A team like Gonzaga, Mark Few once again has it cooking. They're the number one team of the country. They're still undefeated at 24-0. They'll be the favorite to win the national championship. And yet Gonzaga, for all of their success and all of their tournament appearances, has never won a national title. A team like Winthrop, who has it snatched away from them last year, has a chance this year to do what they had set out to do last season. Schools that aren't traditionally in this spot. Illinois, a top five team of the country with some huge, huge wins. Baylor, once again, a top team of the country. Alabama, football defines everything, but their basketball team is a top 10 team in the country. I could go on and on and on. Loyola Chicago went to the Final Four as a total Cinderella a couple of years ago as an 11 seed with Sister Jean and company. They're a top 20 team this year. Top 20. And you look at some of the mid-majors getting some love around the country for the top 25 votes. Winthrop is one of those teams. St. Bonaventure, one of those teams. Toledo, one of those teams. Wichita State, once again. Drake. It's cool to have those names getting that type of love. So I am excited about this tournament because this tournament could be, for a lot of these schools and players and coaches, the chance that they didn't get, that was stolen from them last year. And I think that makes for some wonderful context and fabric and storylines going into the tournament. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Standing by with our headline this morning is Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning. What do we got?
DA, good morning again. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Whenever you guys are ready, feel free to apologize to Brad Stevens.
Kemba, catch and shoot, straightaway three, got another one. Clippers got to figure this out. Paul George getting frustrated that Kemba keeps losing them in coverage.
Sean Grandy on Celtics Radio. The Clippers never did figure things out last night, so Stevens and Boston won their third in a row, 117-112. Please disregard the fact that Kawhi Leonard did not play last night. Celtics are back over 500, up to fourth in the East. The Suns jumped the Lakers for number two in the West for the moment with a 114-104 win at Staples, and they did that despite Devin Booker getting tossed mid-third quarter. LeBron scored 38, now gets tonight in Sacramento off. The Nuggets strolled through Milwaukee last night, 128-97. That's the Bucks' worst loss of the season. The Hawks snapped the Heat's six-game win streak, 94-80. The Grizzlies a 125-111 win in Washington, and the Spurs snapped the Knicks' three-game run, 119-93. College Hoops, number two Michigan, blown out at home by number four Illinois, 76-53. Number three Baylor, a 94-89 OT win at number six West Virginia. And number 12 Arkansas dumped South Carolina, 101-73. That is 10 straight SEC wins for the Razorbacks. The Blue Jays won the George Springer sweepstakes this winter. They had him on the field yesterday for his spring training debut. Springer admits it was weird in a non-Astros jersey.
It was a little weird, just because I've been so accustomed, you know, to the same thing for basically my whole career. But it's a new opportunity. I'm excited about it, and I had a lot of fun out there today.
Springer hit leadoff yesterday, singled on the second pitch he saw. His Jays eventually beat the Phillies 4-2. Elsewhere in Florida,
Yoenis had a pretty good night last night.
Region Yoenis Cespedes worked out for about 12 teams
really?
Yesterday. The Padres, Brewers, Rays, White Sox among those in attendance. Cespedes apparently hit well enough to maybe be considered for somebody's DH role, but did look slow as expected in the outfield. He hasn't played regularly since May of 2018. He opted out after eight games with the Mets last summer.
I mean, look, Bogues. If Yoenis Cespedes comes back, has two heels, two ankles, two legs, and hits 25 home runs, I'm going to be irate. Absolutely irate. This bum took all of the money. I mean, all of the money, and then smoked and ate and drank himself right out of the league, and then goes hunting for what, wild boar on some type of range or some type of ranch, steps in a hole, busts his heel, does it again, busts two heels, falls off a horse or something like that, and hasn't played in 3 years. And now he looks good. He looks good. I don't want to hear he looks good. I want to hear that he looks like he's 85 years old and needs a cane.
Yeah, you might have a kneecap or two to bite because if he could hit some homers, somebody might want to give him some dollars to be on their roster. But that's, I think we're still a ways away from that. But you need to get in a place where don't waste your energy on him, because he didn't waste any energy on us after that first year or so as a Met. So don't return the favor. Don't let him bother you. Hope that he never gets back on the field. That's fine. But if he does, don't sweat it. You've got bigger things to worry
about. It's just crazy that for 3 years, he was never healthy enough to be on a field. Can't do it, it's the knee. Can't do it, it's the ankle. Can't do it, it's the heel. Can't do it, it's the foot. He was never healthy enough to actually be on a baseball field for 3 years, And the moment he's no longer getting paid by the Mets, he's healthy enough to be on a baseball field having a workout.
Yeah, at least a workout. I don't know if he could do it again today. That might be the issue. Those wheels might fall off if they ask him to do it again today. Back-to-back days might be asking a little too much of right now. The Dolphins are trying to trade linebacker Kyle Van Noy. If they can't, they'll release him. The Vikings have released tight end Kyle Rudolph, and the Jets cut loose defensive end Henry Anderson. That raises their salary cap space to $75 million. And on ice last night, Tampa Bay, a 2-0 win in Dallas. Montreal beat Ottawa 3-1 to end a 5-game slide. And now, we stunned.
All right.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, this one is for you, although I hope that you and Rosie never actually go down this path of heartbreak, but a lovely man named Charles has his brown tabby named Brandy back after 15 years apart. Charles, who did not want his last name revealed, adopted the cat when she was a 2-month-old kitten back in 2005. A few months later, Brandy disappeared from the yard. They searched, they went to shelters, they hung up signs, but they never found her. They were afraid that maybe she had been hit by a car, attacked by a coyote, suffered some kind of terrible end. Fast forward to now, Brandy found over the weekend about 40 miles away from Charles's house. Again, this is all in the LA area. Someone finally decided to scan the cat for one of those microchips, which she had. Now, the extra good fortune is Charles has since moved and changed his home number, but his cell still the same from when he got the microchip. So the LA County Animal Shelter able to find him and give Brandy back to him after 15 years. Now, she was a little thin, had overgrown nails, so maybe recently she had been on her own. The only bad news here is that Charles has two young cats in his house right now, and I don't know the cat dynamic well enough, but I guess adding Brandy to that mix is not a good idea. So she's going to stay with his sister, with her aunt, and then Charles will visit her whenever the need arises. So it's almost a full reunion with 15 years apart for this cat and this guy, Chuck.
That's incredible. 15 years. What were we doing in March of 2006? 15 years ago. We were coming off the Steelers beating the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. That was a Bill Cowher, Mike Holmgren Super Bowl. A month after that Super Bowl, Brandy the cat was lost. This is an incredible story. Wow. Now, I got to wonder. Her microchip wasn't scanned for 15 years. I would imagine that means one of two things. Either she was adopted, just brought in to a house by somebody else and living for the last 15 years with somebody else. They didn't have any interest in seeing where she was from. But that's kind of a bad job by them, not bringing them to the shelter to see if that cat's lost. Or number two, Brandy was living on the streets on her own for 15 years, which is really insane. I can't imagine the life expectancy of cats, stray cats, is all that high. And this guy said that she was pretty malnourished when they got her, that she was pretty skinny. So could you imagine if Brandy survived 15 years on the streets before she was picked up and scanned? That's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't survive maybe 15 days on the streets by myself. If this cat did 15 years, super impressive.
I would just be crushed if Rosie the cat, I was separated from her for 15 years. Absolutely crushed. But at the back end of that, what a great story. This guy was like, this has got to be a joke. The microchip's got to be wrong. This can't be my cat 15 years later. And sure enough, he goes to the shelter and there it is, Brandy the cat. So what a great end to this story. But that is kind of a bummer that Brandy can't live with the owner because of the two young cats. That's kind of a bummer. She was there first, you know?
Well, she's a street thug now after 15 years. Maybe it's not safe for the two little cats to be around her. Maybe she's too tough.
she needs a lot of shots. A lot of shots.
Does Rosie have a chip in case she does wander away?
Yeah, she's got a chip. Yeah. But I guess I kind of I guess I never thought about it, but I guess you need to actually physically acquire the cat and have it scanned. Like, it's not some type of homing device or GPS where you just know your cat is.
This is DA's cat. Step away. This is DA's cat. Step away. Please return me.
Wow, this is a great story. I love happy cat stories. Who would have ever thought a little over a year ago I would be a happy cat owner? I would have bet $1 million. All of...
What a turn.
Yeah, all of the cat toys I've purchased, I would have bet I would have never been a happy cat owner. But here I am. Cold, bleak-hearted DA. People can change. All right, thank you, Bogues. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, the Bill O'Brien era in Houston continues to look worse and worse by the day. We'll give you the latest on that story next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's going to be a good day with DA.
Now, well, I'm thinking about it. I'm so damn fat.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us Saturday with Teams of the Bubble and tournament seeds still up for grabs. CBS rolls into March with a college basketball triple header starting at noon Eastern. 9 Pacific, Georgetown at UConn, followed by number 6 Alabama at Georgia, and a Pac-12 matchup between number 19 USC and UCLA, the battle for LA. March is here, and the road to the Final Four continues on Saturday with a College Hoops triple header only on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
Peeps with salsa.
And we'll be all over it here on the DA show as conference tournaments start swinging into action. Already some smaller tournaments are underway. Also, major conference tournaments and the start of March Madness in the next 2 weeks will be all over it every morning right here on CBS Sports Radio. It's hard to put into words just how dysfunctional the Bill O'Brien era was in Houston. And it makes it even crazier that it feels somewhat normal compared to Jack the Quack Easterby. I mean, Bill O'Brien was known for his temper, for lashing out, for bullying people, for being difficult to talk to, his way or the highway, and then also known for making some really weird personnel decisions. The trade for Laramie Tunsil, the trade away of DeAndre Hopkins, and the David Johnson deal. Bill O'Brien acquired David Johnson after just one good season. One in the Cardinals, in his Cardinals career. David Johnson had a career season in 2016. He was a first-team All-Pro, had 1,200 yards, 16 touchdowns, and also caught 80 passes as well, led the league in yards from scrimmage. I think everybody around the NFL kind of knew David Johnson was never going to do that again. I think everybody around the league kind of knew third-round pick from Northern Iowa was not that type of guy. And yet, even though the Cardinals saw that, even though the rest of the NFL saw that, Bill O'Brien didn't. And Bill O'Brien wanted David Johnson back in that deal that sent DeAndre Hopkins to the Cardinals. Now, David Johnson, what he did this past season, was more in line with what he's probably as a running back. 700 yards, 6 touchdowns, also missed a couple of games due to injury, and also missed one game due to being on the COVID list. So he's more like a 900-yard back than a 1,300-yard back, and more like a 7-touchdown or 8-touchdown guy than a 12-touchdown guy and leading the league from yards of scrimmage. But yet, giving away one of the best wide receivers in the NFL for a running back that you could find again, no offense to David Johnson, but a third-round pick out of Northern Iowa, you can find in this draft, in next draft, in the next draft. You'll always find a third-round pick out of Northern Iowa. DeAndre Hopkins, not so much. So when the Texans traded for Bill O'Brien, the David Johnson deal seemed insane. He was making a ton of cash. He was going to make another $9 million this year. And everybody around the organization said, this is a really bad deal that we inherited from Bill O'Brien. Well, the Texans yesterday restructured that deal because even Johnson knew if he didn't, he'd be out of a job. So the Texans restructure it, and now it's going to be about $6 million. The more you look at the Bill O'Brien roster and series of decisions that went into building that team, the more you just wonder, my goodness, how was he allowed to get away with so much for so long? And the reason is because in Houston, being good was enough. And maybe that was a Bob McNair caveat, that as long as you were competitive in your own division and getting a few home playoff games, that was enough. Maybe that was just the overall temperature of the organization. Hey, this is not a crazy intense sports town. And so as long as we're somewhat competitive, that's good enough. But Bill O'Brien, this was his record. 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, 4-12. That's his first four seasons. 3 9-7s and a 4-12. Then he went 11-5, 10-6, and then began this season 0-4. So had two solid seasons, 11-5 and 10-6, but also nobody around the NFL felt that that was a team that could get past, say, the divisional round, and they didn't. In 2018, they lost to the Colts in the wild card round. In 2019, of course, they lost that 24-point lead at Arrowhead. So Bill O'Brien was allowed to retain his job despite being, over the course of his career, only slightly above 500 and command the roster to make trades like DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson. And all he really had to do was be somewhat competitive. That's all. He won the AFC South four times. And it goes to show you how something can go so badly so quickly. I think if you looked at the Texans a year and a half ago, before they ended up in the divisional round against the Chiefs and losing in that dramatic fashion, I think you would say, all right, the roster's not perfect, but Deshaun Watson covers up some things. They've had some pretty good drafting on defense. And it's a team that, at the very least, is competitive in their division and winning their division, even if we don't love the way that, you know, the roster is necessarily constructed. But the more that you allow that type of personality like Bill O'Brien to garner the control and make the decisions, the worse and worse you feel about where you're at. And that this year, it was so obvious how quickly everybody had turned on O'Brien. The trade of DeAndre Hopkins lost so much credibility. And bringing in David Johnson lost so much credibility. And not having the first round picks because of the Tunsil deal lost so much credibility. And it was like the moment that they turned on him, there was immediately no reason to keep him around anymore. And it just goes to show you that if you keep that culture around, that everybody's kind of on pins and needles, like, all right, it's not great, but it's good enough. All right, Bill O'Brien's kind of a maniac, but it's good enough. All right, we might not be winning Super Bowls or getting to AFC Championship games, but at least we've got some home playoff games. If you keep going down that road, the moment it gets bad, the bottom drops out and it feels like DEFCON 5. And that's where the Texans are now. if Jack Easterby wasn't employed and Cal McNair wasn't a boob, maybe Deshaun Watson wants to stay, and maybe you feel okay because Deshaun Watson is the most important piece of the puzzle, and you're like, okay, it's not going to be that bad in Houston. But this all started with the culture of Bill O'Brien being a tyrant, being totally resistant to outside suggestions, being his way or the highway type of guy, and then him controlling the personnel, him outlasting other GMs, him absorbing the personnel decisions. And so then you put all your stock in that guy. And if that guy, if it turns on that guy, you are left holding the bag. And so the David Johnson restructuring yesterday, just another reminder of how many mistakes were made in giving Bill O'Brien that much control over the organization. When we come back, Ian Eagle.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.